Let's just check the fucking episode number.
It doesn't matter, does it?
No, that's good. I think, you know.
Yeah, you like having that.
You know, it's just, we can't have two in a row where we go, oh, I don't know what's happening. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 10 of the second season of the Fine Watchers podcast. Welcome, Lewis, to number 10.
Yeah, great to be here as always.
We made it.
Yeah, really excited. And we're having, again, we say it every week, guys, but we're having great results. I mean, 10,000 views on the last few videos. It's been just mind-blowing, the support. Thank you so much. If you haven't already, please like, subscribe, share with your fellow watch nerds. We are bringing some really awesome content. We're really awesome watches. The content's up to you to decide. It's awesome, I guess. But
it's awesome.
Yeah, we bring some great discussions and some amazing watches. And today is no exception, but we'll get to that shortly. Mean as we begin, as we mean to continue.
Indeed. So in line with today's theme, broad theme, I'm wearing my FXD Tudor.
Nice.
We talked about this off air, but I really like the integrated the post between the lugs, and it kind of keeps it nice and flat.
And I really hate it I hate it.
And I like the flatter, the newer Pelois has the flatter face without the indented indices, and this has that as well, which I really like. And just love the colour and the history of it and all that.
I love the design of it. Everything except for the integrated, it's not even the lugs, is it? The integrated spring bars is what you'd probably call it. I love everything except for that because, as I said to you earlier, I find it really anti-consumer because you have to use that strap. And, like, I acknowledge the a watch dealer selling, you know, Rolexes and APs and Pateks, you know, being anti-consumer. I understand. Like, it's not lost on me. But, yeah, just, it rubs me the wrong way with the Tudor. But I am also wearing a Tudor. I'm wearing my new-to-me Black Bay 58 in 925 sterling silver. Great watch. I'm waiting. I spoke about this recently. I'm waiting for a bracelet. So I ended up getting the Uncle Seiko, which is now Uncle Straps, I think.
I didn't know it changed the name.
Yeah, I think there was a legality behind that. But yeah, so Uncle Strass. But mate, they take ages to ship. It hasn't even left. I bought it like 2 weeks ago, so I haven't left America. So
they're good quality though.
So I'm looking forward to it.
I've had a couple and they're pretty really, really nice quality.
So looking forward to it. But yeah, I love this watch. It's got some charm that, you know, the traditional 58s just sort of lacked for me. Even though I love the K shape and the size. I'm going to talk to some Tudors today, no doubt. Recently, I got hands on and we had a couple in the store of the new Tudor Black Bay 54s. The slightly smaller 37 mil. So you got 58. Look, I find it a little too small, I'll be honest with you. I think it's just a little bit too delicate, a bit too small for a dive watch. But if you are, again, a little bit too small to wear the 58, then the 54 is perfect. And I know Callum, our sourcing manager back at the store, he's in love with it. Like, he'd snap one off, I know that. So, look, it's not for me, but it's for some people. So that is what it is. So what are we talking today, Ben?
So today we are talking the classic, all-time classic Rolex Submariner and, alternatives to this watch. It's so iconic. Released early 50s, almost unchanged really unchanged in the fundamentals of its design in terms of the face and indices and legibility and all that sort of stuff. Big changes over the years in terms of case thickness and shape and lug design and crown guards, lack of guards, all that sort of stuff over time. But certainly an absolutely iconic design and one that is well deserving of its iconic status. And obviously a really, really popular watch in today's market.
Yeah.
But, of course, not everybody can afford one.
Yeah.
And so I guess that's why we're having this discussion about alternatives too.
Yeah, it's one of those watches, like, I've owned a couple of these. I've had the 114060 no date. I've got a 114060 no date now that's full of diamonds that I love because it's a bit of fun. This one here I was just showing off is a 116 10. So it's the 40 mil maxi case, the redesign in 2012. with a ceramic bezel. It's that first generation of the ceramic bezels. I think this is a 2017 model, maybe a 2012 model. It's, I think I said it just before we started recording, it's almost the perfect everyday sports, wear it, whatever you want, watch. It's just, it's really hard to beat. The design's classic. It's almost unchanged from 1953. We'll talk, we've got, you know, a bunch of alternatives and different price points here. The market on these is really, really hot. They've been hot for a long time. They've come down to a more reasonable point, but realistically, I don't ever see this watch going into sort of retail and below again. I think it's so popular and so well designed. It just sort of deserves to be there. Like I say, it's a classic, it's an icon, and it deserves it.
I think, though, that there is still value to be had in some of the older ones as well.
For sure.
So, you know, that sit well under, you know, current retail. But you're still getting basically all of the utility of the watch in terms of they're so hardy, you can bang them around. They look fantastic really in any context, suit, diving suit,
yeah.
You know, shirt, T-shirt, jeans, shorts, whatever. And, you know, particularly with some of the older ones, and here's a perfect example here where, you know, the case is you know, much more lithe, and the curve of the lugs down towards the wrist is different to you know, the newer style. And so they're just so wearable under a shirt sleeve and all that.
This watch here that I'm showing is sort of our first alternative. It's still a Rolex. It's still a Rolex Submariner. This is actually a 5513. This is a later generation of that 5513. I'm just seeing – I did bring the right one. This one is actually what's called a spider dial, and I'm going to try my very best to capture it on the camera. If I miss it, I'm sorry. But essentially what the spider dial is Rolex making a mistake. And as we know, you know, as collectors, when Rolex makes a mistake, it's a huge thing and generally means the price goes pew, pew. Think of APH-style Daytonas where they slightly misspaced the APH on chronograph or cosmograph. This is similar. The dials over time are almost shattered and cracked and split, and it creates a spider web pattern. This one has that. Look, you can pick 5513s up for like 15 grand, whereas a modern stainless steel sub is going to be similar price point, pushing up into the 20s for new, but to get something with real heritage and sort of real age and character and charm and beautiful patina, and then you can pick these spider dials up for, you know, $19,000-$20,000. They're a great alternative. They've stood the test of time. They still look like a Submariner, which is really important. So the first alternative we wanted to discuss was, yeah, the Rolex Submariner. There's so many generations. Just pick one. You know, the older you get, usually the cheaper they are, until you get into really vintage or, you know, Comex styles and all the rest of it. But we won't go into that too much.
I think that's what's interesting to me as well, that these are a more interesting buy to me.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, and I know I said before that the designs are fundamentally unchanged, and before people jump in the comments, and there are so many variants, yeah. red text and multi-dime.
But the silhouette's the
designs,
same, right?
All that. The silhouette
is the same.
The markers, all that sort of stuff are the same and really iconic. And given that, God, what percentage do you think are actually ever used for diving? Probably in the very single digits.
Yeah. Although, we should say, don't jump in the water with your 5513.
Yeah, don't jump in the water.
Don't do that.
But you know, most people aren't using it for that. So, you know, getting a more vintage one is, you know, there's no risk involved in it other than the general, you know, sort of age things to look out for with vintage watches. So that's a really worthy first option.
Exactly. And staying both in the vintage family and in the Rolex family, we have the Tudor Submariner. So, yeah, Tudor being the sister company to Rolex, they made a Submariner. And as you can see, it's basically the same watch. And in fact, it uses, I believe, the same case.
Uses the Rolex case.
Uses the Rolex case, crown, case back, everything, basically except for the dial and movement and hands. It's basically you're getting a Rolex Submariner from Rolex's sister company for, what, 10 grand, 9 grand now? Like
A good one can be more than that,
of course,
for sure. But, yeah, sort of 7, 8, 10 grand.
And of course, you get the Tudor snowflake hands, which I
personally think are cool. That's just me. I think it's kind of interesting, and it's something that, because everybody knows the Submariner, people go, oh, you got a Rolex, and then hold on, actually, it's something else which is interesting.
And that snowflake hand has now come through to modern Tudor with things like the Black Bay 58. I think it was your Pelagos got that as well.
Yeah,
so the Pelagos is on that
range. Yeah.
So Tudor are really coming back to that heritage that they had with this Tudor Submariner, and you're seeing that design come back through into the modern watches. So picking up one of these now is a great alternative for a modern Submariner.
The other thing is that they have an ETA movement, and which means
infinitely serviceable.
Serviceable everywhere, cheap servicing everywhere. Everybody knows how to service and everything. 100%. So a very, very good alternative and super cool.
But let's say, you know, we don't want to go vintage. We want modern because, you know, we're looking at a ceramic Submariner and we're in a modern diveable watch. There is another alternative right here. This one is, again, in the Rolex family in Tudor, the Tudor Black Bay. So this comes in, obviously, the 58 that we discussed that's on my wrist. The Pelagos is very similar to the Black Bay, so we can sort of throw that in. But the Black Bay 41, obviously just been refreshed as well, a little bit thinner now, because always the criticism was always this right here, this case side is just...
Well, I think that was when they moved to the in-house movement, meant it got thinner, and yeah. They got thinner after they moved to the in-house movement because the actual movement was thinner. So
look, these are great. These are under, you know, I think retail's like $6,000 on them. Don't pay retail for Tudor at all. Just never do it. It's like buying a Breitling or a Omega retail unless it's a Snoopy. Just don't bother doing it. Pre-owned in like mint condition, basically new. They're under $5,000. Yeah. I mean, that's a hell of a watch.
That's a lot of watch for that money.
Yeah, and in-house movement, like you say. You got the snowflake hands, that Tudor styling, Rolex, you know. Rolex to it, you know, a bit of presence. I think it's a great option.
I think they wear almost exactly the same as well, particularly if you get the thinner case. Just the feeling of it's hard to it's a struggle to find the word, but it's security maybe,
yeah,
or just heft.
There's a bit of thickness to it.
You know, there's nothing. They do everything right. Yeah. It's comfortable to wear. There's you feel it on the wrist. And I think because the legibility and all of that is basically the same, the experience is really, really similar. And I've had several in and out, both from the fine watches stock, but also of my own. And I always find that if I get rid of them, I kind of want one to have to wear, because they're really, really you know, for the money, it's not a $20,000 Rolex. It's, you know, it's a $4,000 watch. And you get real satisfaction, real wrist satisfaction out of wearing it.
I would say that, like, on the wearability, like the Tudor, the Black Bay 41 is more like the six-digit reference ceramic bezel.
The hefty one.
But the 58 and even the 54 is more like those 5513s, the five-digit reference Submariners, that little bit slimmer. So you can sort of get that experience really well. So, yeah, Tudor's a great option. There's a couple of watches out there that you can get. But, you know, we can also look at more budget alternatives, and we look like as far down the budget barrel as you want and go into Seiko. Like, you brought this to the table today. Tell us about this one.
Absolutely. So this one is a Seiko Turtle. This was a limited edition they did a few years back, an all-black lineup that they did of these and the Samurai and one other model. And, you know, it's really popular, that sort of really creamy loam and all that. But it comes in all sorts of different colours. Actually, Seiko are a very, very popular watch amongst actual divers, because they're very, very competent dive watches in terms of their water tightness and their operation. Interestingly, there was a study done sort of at the peak of it, when Jacques Cousteau was making movies and everybody was getting into scuba diving. It was super popular in the 50s and 60s. And so they did a study on these, on dive watches, which included the Submariner and the Jaeger Polarises and all sorts of watches. And the Seiko at the time came out a really clear winner because of
how
the criteria. Yeah, absolutely. So that was great. And so, you know, really and because there are so many different styles.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
You know, you can find something that really suits you. And usually somewhere between, you know, 500 and 1500, depending on, you know, limited edition and
model. For new, model, right?
Sort of stuff.
I mean, brand pre-owned, you're talking a couple hundred bucks.
A few hundred dollars. So, yeah, absolutely. Definitely something worth looking at if you're not in the Rolex or Tudor.
Or Tudor, yeah.
Money market.
I mean, look, the classic one that everyone talks about, the Seiko, is like the SKX. This one here that we've got is that turtle case shape. It's a little bit more round, but you can find those Seiko divers, you know, black bezel divers, black dial divers, really, really cheaply in the SKX range and things like that. So, yeah, that's a great one. If you want to jump up, you know, let's say to the $1,000, $2,000 range, I'll show a couple here at once because I think they sort of go together, right? And we've got the two Oris options, one being the Oris Aquis, and one being the Divers 65 model. Here we've got the green Oris, which is sort of that Submariner Hulk allegory, Hulk, I guess. Brain. Yeah. And then the Diver 65. Start with the Diver 65. I mean, these are under $2,000, $1,500 sometimes. Like vintage styling, you know, beautiful, beautiful case. It's just a gorgeous entry-level luxury watch. It's for $1,500 pre-owned. I think these now with Cal 400 are pushing like $4,000. Yeah. Which I think is crazy. Let's get that out of the way. That's crazy.
Yeah, the new prices are going up a bit
for us. Buy it pre-owned, buy it well, wear it well. You'll wear it for free, more than likely, by the time you come to sell it. The second one is the Oris Aquis. Now, my dad, Paul, he's the other owner of the Watch Dealers, which is obviously my company. He was gifted one of these by my mum for his 52nd birthday, something like that. And he loved it. It was just like this cool little diving watch you wore on the boat. Like, it was just such a great... That makes me sound so bougie. I'm on the boat. I hate boats. Don't worry about it. Yeah, but look, great. They're actually an integrated bracelet too, which, you know, covers another box. Cool watch. You can get these in the previous ETA-style movements or Salida movements, I think they were. Yeah. One now in the new Cal 400, which, you know, it's an amazing movement but really expensive. So, again, buy pre-owned, wear it well, wear it for free.
I think generally Oris offer really good value for money. And the other thing is that Oris do very good dive watches.
So really good dive watches.
You know, really competent, not good depths and all that. So if you're actually going to wear something like that diving rather than a dive timer, digital dive timer or whatever, then, you know, you can't go too far wrong with that.
And you're talking, you know,
proper wear.
Diver 65 under $2,000. Oris Aquis, $3,000 probably, you know, push up to $4,000 for a really good one. So really good entry into that luxury market. I'm going to keep going in price points. I want to throw one out. And look, full disclosure, I'm an authorized dealer for this brand. I'm the only authorized dealer in Australia for this brand. So take what I say with a grain of salt, but please experience it and realize that I'm not lying to you, because these are some of the best value watches at this new price point in the world. That is Formex, guys. If you haven't heard of Formex, just go and do a little bit of digging online. This is the green Formex Reef, 43mm diver, a 42mm diver, one or the other. Wears really well, even on my 6.5, almost 7-inch wrist, it's just perfect. But competent diver, 300 meters water resistance. They use a really good Salida movement, so you're not paying for, you know, in-house movements. But they had a trick, and all Formex watches have a trick. The trick on the Reef is that the bezel is interchangeable by hand, so you can just pop it on and off yourself. That's just cool. The coolest thing. So these are $3,500 brand new. As I said, look, I am the only place you can get these brand new in Australia. You can order direct from Formex as well. But $3,500, they're just incredible, guys.
I love the sort of indented
Yachtmaster-esque
style. Yep. Bezel on these, and because of the case shape, that the lugs sort of slope down,
they wear really well.
They wear really, really well on the wrist. I own a Formex as well, not this particular model, but another of their models, and they're, you know, really nicely finished. And yeah, I do like them.
The other thing, they're the first watch we've mentioned today that has like a slide lock comparable. So they actually have the movability in the clasp where you can slide it up and down and get micro adjustment without the use of tools, just like the Submariner. So that's a really, really cool selling point. Lastly, we should probably go to Rolex's biggest high street rival, I would say. I would say this is the biggest high street
rival. Certainly in the dive space. Yeah,
yeah, and that's Omega. We've got a lot of Omega here on the table because they just offer so much value and so many different options. Where do you want to start?
Well, just start with, I guess, the older look.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
I mean, Seamaster has been around for a long time. It's such a core line for the brand, and always has been. You know, they've always been involved in waterproof and diving watches, and obviously the name Seamaster reflects that. I really like this one as a sort of a reissue of the original Seamaster 300 from the 60s, with sort of a modern sandwich style and obviously the coaxial movement. I think that's a lot of watch for money, and you know, secondhand with boxes and papers and everything. These are, you know, can be had well under 10, sort of around the six or so.
I was going to say six or seven.
Six and a half, 7,000, and that's a lot of watch for the money. And it really it's a beautiful watch, and they're worth a look.
The other one that I wanted to talk about in the Omega catalog was the Omega Seamaster Diver 300. So this is, you know, very similar, but this is probably what you would see, you know, the old Pierce Brosnan, you know, James Bond Omega Seamaster.
Don't hold that against it though, Pierce Brosnan.
You're Craig fan.
Craig and Sean.
Okay. We digress.
Roger, yeah.
Black dial, blue dials, white dial, like whatever you want with these. 41 mil, really quite a slim case. I think this generation that we're showing here, which is the previous generation, is probably the best wearing of all the Seamasters, especially for someone who doesn't have gorilla wrists. I mean, you've got the gorilla wrists, so you can wear the
for sure. But just, it's such a classic bracelet design.
Mm.
And, you know, it's sort of changed a little bit over the years, but they're so iconic. I mean, I remember in the 90s seeing people with these and just loving it. It was such an iconic sort of a design. Very much up there with, at the time, with the Speedies and other Omegas. And, yeah, they're just gorgeous. Everything about them, the hands, design, the, you know, everything is so iconic.
Oh, those ones there, like $3,500, $4,500 for that generation. They're just a great watch. If you go to the more modern one that was released in, I think, 2020, the 42 mil, then, yeah, you're looking into the $5,500, $6,000 range. We do have another Omega Seamaster to talk about. And this is a modern one, but this is actually, talking of James Bond, this is the Bond 60th anniversary Omega Seamaster. So this is the blue on the, is this Milanese or mesh strap, I guess? Pretty mesh, not Milanese, right?
I honestly don't know the difference.
I think that's
Milanese, and then shark mesh is kind of thicker, right?
Well, this is the one that was brought out for the 60th anniversary of James Bond.
Let us know in the comments.
Yeah, let us know we're wrong again. But yeah, you get that movement on the back. It's distorted on this one, but it's the upgraded movement.
With the rifling of the Bond intro.
Exactly. These are great. I've had a couple of these.
I love the No Time to Die chocolate version. That is just
that's
gorgeous.
A lovely watch.
Absolutely gorgeous.
I've had a couple of the standard, you know, 2020 remasters of these. I've had the black, and then I had a two-tone. Just a really, really great watch. And probably I would say, in terms of this generation of Vox Submariner, this is a better watch, mechanically, technically. There's more going on here. Maybe the new 41 mil with the new movement is probably a little bit more advanced, but I think that coaxial, this design, the ceramic, the laser-ablated ceramic dials, just a beautiful design from Omega.
I think there's very, very little, really, when you, if you completely forget about brand,
yeah.
There's very, very little between
those two
watches in terms of build quality, in terms of, you know, technical ability. In fact, that one's more complex because of the coaxial.
Yeah.
And in terms of wear, I think, okay, so this strap is a different strap, and I actually think that the clasp ends up being a little bit...
No, I hate the strap.
...on this particular one. The strap. But I think that when you're looking at these straps...
That's what
you know, the wearability, they wear very, very similarly. They have that same feeling of security and presence on the wrist, that you know whatever you're gonna do, the watch is gonna be fine. And okay, you might mark it a little bit, but it's gonna keep soldiering on.
And of course on the new Seamasters since 2020, you do get the micro adjust clasp without a tool. So you know, even the clasp and bracelet are comparable now, whereas in the previous generation it probably wasn't that.
Yeah.
But I mean, we all know Rolex bracelets were absolute garbage up until modern era.
Yeah, they certainly were the old ones with the kind of foldy.
They're just terrible.
It's pretty bad.
But like you know, let us know in the comments, guys. We want to hear from you. You know, what do you think of our selection of alternatives here? Is there anything that you would recommend? And what price point would you recommend? We try to stay here below even the retail price of a Rolex Submariner, let alone the market price. I think here we've got a pretty good cross-section of what you can get.
And especially if you're a diver, would you ever actually wear a watch, or are you just wearing a digital dive computer and whatever, and this is just all irrelevant? Which I'd be predicting, certainly in this day and age, it probably is. Yeah. But, let us know in the comments what you think. And as always, please like, subscribe, let your friends know, and let us know perhaps what you'd like to see from us going forward as well. And as always, thanks very much for your support. You can find us on Instagram. I'm at FineWatchesAU. You can find Lewis at GCWatchGuy on Instagram. And from the Fine Watches podcast, as always, until next time, enjoy.
Take care.